Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text is the gospel reading for the baptism of our Lord. I call your attention again to these words of Mark. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and the voice from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." It's likely that you know Ted Gianulis, even if you've never heard his name or been introduced to him. For 30 years, he's played the San Diego Chicken. Now at 50, most of his life is wrapped up in that suit, and that's where his identity is, too. He doesn't even really have an identity outside that suit, no family, no one really knows Ted. He's never photographed when he's not in the suit. It has its disadvantages, of course. He says, "Now I'm no longer Ted." That's the price you pay. You can lose yourself in that suit. "I have plenty of chicken stories," he says, "but I have no Ted stories." There are lots of people who live their lives with an identity other than that which God intended for them. They lose themselves in other things and never discover their identity in Christ. Who are you? It's an important question, not always so easy to answer. Of course, when you are born into this world, you come into a family, and in those relationships, you begin to discover an identity. But those relationships are constantly changing, from those children that you played with before you went to school to the ones you knew in grade school and the friends you made in high school and the friends you made in college and those you work with and perhaps here at the seminary. But they're always in flux. Your parents may die. Your friends may desert you. Employers change. And it's hard to secure an identity that's enduring and lasting, that isn't always changing. In the movie The Bourne Identity, Matt Damon plays Jason Bourne, a CIA agent who is on the run for his life. He doesn't know who he is. He's been suffering from amnesia. He is in the mountains of Switzerland, hitchhiking on his way to Germany, and he's hitched a ride with a young girl named Marie, and they stop at a truck stop there in the Alps. He's trying to figure out what's going on, what happened to him, and who he is. He says, "Who has a safe deposit box full of money and 6 passports and a gun? I come into this place, and the first thing I'm looking for is an exit." He goes on to say to Marie, I can tell you the license plate numbers of the 6 cars outside in the parking lot. I know that the waitress is left-handed. The guy sitting at the counter weighs 215 pounds, and he can handle himself. And I know the best place to look for a gun would be in the cab of that gray truck parked outside. But who knows all of these things and doesn't know who they are?" Well, many people know lots of things, but they don't know who they are. And many people are running somewhere, but because they don't know who they are, they don't know where they're going either. Such it is for those who are trying to discover who they are. And of course, as we go on in our life, we discover other significant problems that we have to deal with. We discover that we are born in sin and that we are marked for death. And what's more, it's kind of a hopeless situation because we can't extricate ourselves from that situation. We can't open heaven by ourselves. We can't remove ourselves from that bondage that we experience to our own sinful desires and the lusts that are a part of our life. No, we're trapped there, struggling but unable to get free. No wonder Isaiah cried out, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you." You see, we need help. And that kind of help must come from outside of us because it's not within ourselves. That's the kind of help we celebrated at Christmas. God coming into our world, tearing open the heavens and coming down to be born in our humanity, to take upon himself our flesh and blood, to share with us our lives here, to experience what it's like to be under the law and its condemnation, and to know the burden and the weight of sin that he shared with us. And it is in this season of Epiphany that we discover the full extent and dimensions of his coming into our world. The baptism of Jesus breaks open the meaning of what he is going to do and accomplish on our behalf. For Jesus comes to John and is baptized by him in the Jordan. That's the extent of Mark's description of the baptism. No conversation between them. It's as if Jesus' baptism is no different than any of those other hundreds, perhaps thousands of sinners who are coming from all of Judea and Jerusalem to hear John and to confess their sins and to be baptized by him in the Jordan River. And it was no different in one respect. You see, Jesus came to identify with people like that, like you and me, sinners, needing to confess, needing repentance. Even though he needed none of those things, he identified fully with us so that we might be able to identify with him. But it is in what happens next, you see, that Mark plays careful attention. For when Jesus comes up out of the water, he sees the heavens being torn open and the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. And he hears the voice from heaven say, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." I suppose you've witnessed many baptisms, as I have. And you've probably never seen the heavens torn open and the Spirit of God descending like a dove and heard the voice from heaven saying, "You are my son," or "You are my daughter." But that doesn't mean it wasn't happening, you see. Jesus saw it and he heard it. And because it happened to him and on him, it also happened for us too. In our baptism, God tore open the heavens and he came to us. He sent his Spirit into our hearts, that Spirit who recreates and renews and gives new life, imparts a new identity, not one marked for death, but one marked with the sign of the cross, one that is open-ended because it is a life that never ends. And in our baptism, he said, "You are mine. You belong to me." That's the identity that doesn't change, that always exists because we are always his children, his sons and daughters. ABC News, June the 2nd of last year, ran a story about Marty Johnson, a man from Minnesota who discovered that digging into your family tree can not only be kind of an exciting thing, but also a life-changing experience. Marty knew that his parents were college students who had a brief affair, but neither could take care of him, so they gave him up for adoption, and he ended up in a loving family in Minnesota. And when he had grown up, he started digging into his past, and he even made contact with his birth mother. And then several months later, he got a letter saying, "Welcome to the Ogeke dynasty. You are part of a noble and prestigious family." And the letter went on to say that he was the next in line to succeed his father, John Ogeke, who was the chief of Abuja in Nigeria. And so Marty flew to Nigeria, and here is a man who knew nothing about his past, welcomed into a noisy celebration, meeting brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and a father. And so Jesus comes to us. And in coming to us, he connects us to himself in the waters of baptism. And to his father. And to all of the others who have been baptized into that new relationship and that new life. For this identity goes beyond just who we are, but it encompasses us in God's family, his people, redeemed, baptized, recipients of a salvation that cannot be taken away from us. The mystery of the missing owner was the headline on an unusual section of the Chicago Tribune, February the 6th of last year. It actually was a legal notice published by the Illinois State Treasurer's Office seeking to give back millions, yes, even almost $1 billion to rightful owners whose names and addresses had been, or addresses at least, had been lost. The contents of abandoned safe deposit boxes, forgotten bank accounts, security deposit checks, uncashed paychecks, dividend checks, and whatever. The first page of this supplement had on it the names of 10 individuals or couples who were owed more than $100,000 each. And the next 116 pages were packed with the names of 113,000 people who were owed each one more than $100, a total of $1 billion. There are many people today baptized into Christ who have no awareness of the treasures that are theirs in Him. Treasures that God has made available to us because His Son Jesus secured them for us on the cross and in His resurrection, the guarantee of eternal life. The joy and the peace and the hope that only He can give are ours and yet unknown to many. That same Spirit that came upon our Lord Jesus and filled Him and rested upon Him and led Him and equipped Him for His ministry, that same Spirit is God's gift to you and me in our baptism and every day as He fills us and equips us and sends us into a world to proclaim the good news of His love and forgiveness and identity in Jesus Christ. May God grant that to us for His sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.